Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 21. Those of you who maybe are just now joining us, we're working our way together through the Gospel of Luke under the heading, The Good News of God, according to Luke. This morning we want to consider together hearing God's Word. Again, our text this morning is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. We're simply picking up where we left off last time with verse 16. This is the word of God to us. Let's hear God's word together. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him because they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." This is the word of God. Again, let's pray together. Lord in heaven, Your word is full of life. We make mistakes. I make mistakes. Your word has no mistakes, no errors there. And so we pray that you would bring this perfect word, this perfect light, this perfect word of truth and hope and life, and bring it into our lives this morning. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Different people respond to God's word differently. We saw that last week, that different people respond to God's word differently. If the message of the Bible is like a seed, okay? If the message of the Bible, the message of Jesus Christ is like a seed, and if preaching and teaching is like spreading seeds, okay? If the message, if the good news of Jesus Christ, the message of the Bible is like a seed, then when you tell others, when you talk to your friends or your neighbors or you're talking to coworkers or a family member and you're telling them what Christ has done in your life, well, if that message is like seed, then you talking to others about Jesus is like sowing seed. It's like a man going out into a field and sowing seed. Well, If telling others about Jesus is like going out and sowing seed, then Jesus says different people are like different kinds of soil. In other words, when you talk to some people about the Lord, they're not even going to hear you. They'll hear you, but they won't really hear you. The message won't go in. It won't sink in. They'll walk away, and they won't remember a thing you said. Jesus says some people are like hard soil. Like the hard soil, like in a path where you've walked back and forth day after day, week after week, and the soil gets so packed down, if any seed lands on the path, it's not going to penetrate. That soil's too, it's just going to sit there. Jesus said a lot of people are like that. Their heads are hard. And you can talk to them about the Lord, but it's not going to penetrate. It's not going to go in. Other people you talk to, the message will go in a little bit. And they may even seem excited and interested, but when the Christian life gets hard, which inevitably it will sometimes, some people, they're going to quit because the message doesn't go in deep enough. Some people are like that, where the message either it doesn't go in at all or it only goes in a little bit. And so either they walk away and completely forget what you said, or they seem to believe for a little while and then they give up because it's just too hard. Other people, they hear what you say, and maybe they seem to agree with you, but they're so preoccupied. They've got so many things going on at home, or they're all caught up in things at work. They've got this project they're on. Maybe they're building onto their house, or whatever's going on. They're so preoccupied with other cares that it's like the message doesn't have any room to grow in their life. Jesus says some people are like thorny ground, where there's thorns and weeds and other things growing up, and so the message of the Bible doesn't have any room to grow in their life. So maybe they hear the message, but they never seem to grow. And then, of course, some people will hear the message. They'll hear what you're saying, and they'll believe it. They'll accept it. They'll take it to heart. They'll hold on to it. They'll really believe it, and they'll be changed by it. Some people will be completely transformed by the message that you share with them. But different people respond differently to God's word. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to take care
how you hear the word of God. You don't want to be the kind of person that the word of God doesn't even go in. You don't want to be the kind of person who seems to believe but then quits. You don't want to be the person who says they believe but is so preoccupied with other things they never seem to grow. You want to be that person who's transformed, whose life is totally different forever. And therefore, be very careful. Take heed how you listen to the word of God. Okay, look with me at our text this morning. We're beginning with verse 16. Jesus says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed." In ancient Palestine, you couldn't simply walk into the room and flip on the lights. They didn't have electricity in their homes, and they didn't have light switches. So typically, when it got dark, you went to bed. I mean, you got up when the sun came up, you went to bed when the sun went down. If for some reason you needed to stay up when it was dark, like maybe you have guests coming, maybe some guests are coming or family members from a distance and you're waiting for them and they're not there yet and you don't want them to come into a dark house and stumble around. If for some reason you need to stay up when it was dark, you would light a lamp. And they would typically be oil lamps, sort of like our kerosene lamps, only they looked like what we think of as an Aladdin's lamp. Remember, you know, you think of an Aladdin's lamp. That's what their oil lamps typically looked like. You would have a wick that would stick out of the spout. You didn't light the oil directly. You don't want all the oil to explode or burn up, right? But you would light the wick. The wick would gradually soak up the oil, and you would light the wick, and it would burn the oil off of the wick. So you would light a lamp so that when your friends or your family members come, that they're going to be able to see. Well, now it was a little expensive. Oil was expensive, and it wasn't easy to light. You know, you don't have a cigarette lighter. You don't have one of those lighters you use for the grill or a box of matches. And so it's not really easy to light a lamp, and it did cost money. So if you're going to the trouble of lighting a lamp, you're not going to light this lamp and then cover it up. Jesus says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar. Well, a jar for them would have been made out of clay, and so it's opaque. You can't see through it. You wouldn't light a lamp and then cover it up with a jar. That doesn't make any sense. He says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed. You wouldn't light a lamp and then stick it up under the bed. Well, nobody can see it. Or the word there, bed, could also mean couch, because typically their beds would be a mattress that they would just leave on the floor, and then they would roll it up when they're getting up for the day. It could mean couch, but either case, you wouldn't light a lamp and then stick it up under the couch. What good is that? He says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so those who enter may see the light. Remember in the temple, there was something called the golden lampstand. We call it a menorah, but they called it the golden lampstand, and it was just that. It was a stand that was designed to hold seven oil lamps, and it would hold these lamps up high so that there was plenty of light all through that portion of the temple. Well, Jesus says, in your own home, you didn't have a golden lampstand, but when you lit a lamp, you would put it up on a stand of some sort, kind of like maybe one of these little tables we have, a little end table or something you'd normally, like we would put a plant on, or perhaps even on a shelf. The point is you would light a lamp and you would put it up somewhere high so that light could shine. You're not going to light a lamp and then cover it up with a jar or stick it under the bed or stick it under the couch or even put it down on the floor. If you're going to light a lamp, you're going to put it up somewhere high so that it can shine and the light fill the room. Okay? No one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so those who enter may see the light. You're going to light this lamp and you're going to put it up somewhere on a stand, somewhere high, so that when your friends or your families arrive late at night, they can see, they can come in, they can see you, you can welcome them, you can greet them, you're going to light a lamp, you're going to put it up somewhere high. Why is Jesus telling us this? Well, because Jesus is the light of the world. Okay? Ignorance, okay, confusion is sometimes compared to darkness. Because when you don't know something or you're confused, you don't know where to go, you don't know where you're going, you don't know where you are, you don't know where to turn. Jesus is the light of the world. He came to bring understanding, to bring knowledge, to bring wisdom, to bring truth. And the Bible says God is light, and in his light we see light. So Jesus is the light of the world, came to bring us understanding and knowledge and wisdom. And you want to let that light shine. Earlier, Jesus used the image of sowing seeds. Now he uses the image of lighting a lamp and putting it up on a lampstand. Different images to say the same thing. You want to let people know about Jesus. You want to spread the word. You want to be honest or transparent with people. That is, you're not trying to keep your Christianity a secret. Shouldn't be something we're ashamed of. But we want to spread the message of Jesus Christ. No, we don't know how people are going to respond. And not everybody's going to respond the same way. Nevertheless, we want to sow that seed. We want to tell others about Christ, give them the good news. We want to let that light shine. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. You want to let that light shine. We want to let people know about Jesus Christ. Because, verse 17, nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. Lots of things are hidden in life, okay, for now. Lots of things are secret. Lots of things are personal or private. For example, your own thoughts, your feelings. Nobody else knows what's going through your mind right now. These things are secret. They are hidden. Okay. But Jesus says nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. Manifest means revealed or made known. Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. What's he saying? He's saying here that God's word is like a light or a lamp. And it reveals the secrets of the heart. Okay? No, nobody knows what you're really thinking. Nobody really knows why you're really here or what's going through your mind or whether you're even paying attention. But God's word is like a lamp or a light, and it reveals the secrets of the heart. Okay? Like the woman in the parable who lost a gold coin in her house. She lit a lamp and she searches her house, okay, because that light, that lamp, enables her to see what's been hidden. Okay? In the same way, God's word is like a lamp, and it reveals the secrets and the thoughts of the heart. For example, we saw last time that a large crowd came to hear Jesus. Okay? Not just from one town, but from lots of different towns, people came together to hear Jesus. Outwardly, they all looked the same. And spiritually speaking, I mean, they were all Jewish, and they were all coming to hear Jesus, so they all looked like good, believing Jewish people. And yet, Jesus said they're not all the same. They're different. They're like different kinds of soil. They're all going to respond differently. They all look the same until Jesus begins to preach. And then you're going to begin to see some differences. It's like God's word begins to reveal the secrets of the heart. It begins to reveal the differences. Or to put it this way, the way you respond to God's word is going to reveal what kind of person you are. All these people in this crowd look the same. But Jesus says they're not all the same. Because some of them, the message won't even get in there. And some, well, they'll seem to follow me, but then they'll quit. And some are going to be preoccupied with other things. And others, boy, they'll really become disciples and follow me. The fact is, until they hear the word of God, they all look the same. But then once Christ has begun to preach and teach, once they begin to hear the word of God, now you're going to begin to see the differences. And what was going on inside of them is going to become evident. It's going to be revealed. It's become manifested. Okay? The way you respond to God's word is going to reveal. Are you like that hard soil? The message can't even get in. Are you like the rocky soil that doesn't have any real roots, so you quit when life gets hard? Or are you like thorny ground? You're just too busy. You're too preoccupied with other things. Or are you like good soil, and when you hear God's word, you take it to heart, and you believe it, and it transforms you and changes you forever? Well, we don't know until God's word goes out. And then once you hear God's word, the way you respond reveals what kind of person you are. And that's why Jesus says, take care then how you hear. Be very careful how you hear God's word. Be very careful how you listen and how you respond. We often, I mean, I know this, I do this. We talk about preachers, you know. Well, that was a good message. Or that one was, you know, I mean, we do that. We talk with this guy's really interesting, this guy's, you know. I'm sure there's a place for that. But Jesus isn't talking about how well the preacher's doing. He's talking about how well the listeners are doing. You know, how did you do today? You know, maybe you should ask yourself that on Sundays when you get home. How did you do today? Did you listen well? That's what Jesus says. Take care how you listen. Because the way you respond to God's word is going to reveal whether or not you have real faith. This is what he says. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. In other words, if you come, I don't know, different people are here probably for different reasons. If you come to hear God's word with an open heart, because you really want to hear it, and you believe it, and you want to understand it, maybe there's all kind of things you don't know. Maybe you're struggling, you're confused. But you're coming, you genuinely want to hear it, and you want to believe it, and you want to take it to heart. If you come with faith, your faith is going to be strengthened. It's going to be fed. And you're going to get more out of it. Jesus says, the one who has, more will be given. And that means, I think, that if you come to God's word, as you come as a listener with faith, wanting to hear, wanting to believe, that faith is only going to be strengthened. It's going to be nurtured. God's word strengthens your faith. You know, God's word doesn't quench your faith. No, it strengthens your faith. It feeds your faith. And so that actually, and I've seen this many, many times over many, many years, those with more faith get more out of God's word. You know, you would think it'd be the mature Christians who'd be like, come on, I've heard this before. But rather it's the opposite. It's the more mature Christians who get more out of it because they come more eager. They come believing. They come expecting to hear something from God. They come ready to apply to their lives. And so really mature Christians, boy, they can get something out of even the worst sermons. Oh, that was such a blessing to me. I'm so thankful for that. Because the more they have, the more they're going to get. When you come to hear God's word, if you come looking, expecting, listening, you're going to get more out of it. He says, take care how you hear. The one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Imagine out of that big crowd who came, they all considered themselves probably good Jewish people, but not all of them had faith. They probably thought they did, but God's word is like a lamp, and it would reveal what was really going on, and so the way they some of them responded would reveal that they weren't really good soil after all. It would reveal that some people probably came just to hear the novelty of it. You know, they came because everybody else was coming. Out of curiosity, or maybe they came to find fault. Sometimes the Sadducees or the Pharisees would come and they just want to listen to Jesus because they want to find something he's doing wrong. The way you respond to God's word is going to reveal whether or not you have real faith. He says, the one who has, more will be given. The one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. So the person who doesn't pay attention to God's word, you know, If preaching is just noise in the background, you know, like sometimes you have the television on, you're not watching, it's just noise in the background. If God's word is just noise in the background and you're not really interested, you're not listening, you're not likely to get much out of it. And it well could be a sign that you're not really a believer because you're not coming to hear God's word and learn from it. The way you listen and respond to the word of God is an indicator. It reveals whether or not you have real faith. Therefore, Jesus says, be very careful how you listen to the word of God. You don't want to listen to it lightly or carelessly like the television on in the background. You want to listen attentively and put it into practice. Look at verse 19. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. Okay, apparently, by this time, Jesus has gone inside. Luke hasn't told us that yet. But it'll become evident that Jesus has now gone inside. Previously, Jesus was outside talking to a huge crowd. Remember, he called out, he cried out, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay. Jesus wants you to hear God's word. He wants it to come to you and bless you. He wants you to get something out of it. He wants you to be encouraged and comforted and fed and challenged. He says, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. God wants you to hear and be blessed by his word. But then remember, we saw last time, after speaking to the crowd, then he went and spoke to his disciples in private, and he explained the meaning of the parable of the four soils and the sowing of the seed. So he spoke to the whole crowd. And then apparently he talked to disciples in private. And now apparently Jesus has gone inside someone's home. And the crowd has followed him. Or at least they've tried to follow him. So that the house is now so crowded that it says his mother, that would be Mary, and his brothers. Okay, after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph apparently had other sons. His mother and his younger brothers come and they can't get in because of the crowd. That's hard to imagine. That's hard to imagine. These people are so eager to be in there and listen to Jesus that his own family can't get through. That's hard to imagine. These people are so eager to hear God's word that no one will step aside and let his family in. They won't even let mom in. It's hard to imagine people being that eager. But we should be so eager to hear God's word. I remember when I was younger, when I was a kid, people used to joke about how sermons were boring and they were so long. You still hear that sometimes. Yeah, y'all laugh. You hear it sometimes. You don't hear it as much anymore because lots of people just don't come to church anymore. You know, it's not as much a part of our culture anymore like it was when I was growing up. But we ought to come eagerly. We ought to be excited about it. We ought to come eagerly, wanting to hear, anticipating that this is one of the primary means by which God blesses us. And we ought to come expecting, you know what? This may be an amazing day, and I want to hear God's word, and I'm expecting God to use it in my life. We should come eagerly. Now, to be fair, this crowd that has gathered in have come with all sorts of different motives. You know, some of them have some very misguided ideas about the kind of Messiah Jesus is going to be. Some of them are thinking he's going to drive out the Romans. They won't have to pay taxes anymore. Some of them are thinking that Jesus is going to provide free food for everybody every day. Some of them have all sorts of political expectations. And we're going to see that as the weeks and months pass on, and as it becomes evidence that Christ is not that kind of Messiah, a lot of these people are going to, the crowds are going to fall away. So granted, many of the people there were there for the wrong reasons, but nevertheless, we should be so eager to come and hear God's word and to see the Lord. Okay, verse 20 says, he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. Okay, so Mary and the younger brothers, they can't get inside, so apparently they send a message in. Jesus gets a message saying, your family's outside wanting to see you. You know what that means. They want to see him. They want to talk. They don't want to just see him with their eyes. They want to talk to him. They don't want to just send a message. They want to be with him. They want to see him. They want to be able to talk to him one-on-one. They have concerns. They want to talk to him. We ought to come eagerly to hear God's word because we too should want to see the Lord. You know, yes, we come because we need to be reminded of certain truths or we need to reminded or even taught how to handle certain circumstances. Yeah, we come because we want to learn, but you don't come on Sunday primarily because I just got to find out what happens in Luke chapter 8. You know, you don't come primarily for that reason. You come because you want to meet with the Lord. And hearing God's word is one of the primary, if not the primary means by which we meet with God. By hearing his word is one of the primary means by which God meets with us. And so we ought to be eager to hear God's word because we ought to be eager to come and see the Lord, as it were. We want to meet and fellowship with God. Well, Jesus is surrounded by this crowd. His mother and his brothers can't reach him. So he's told, he gets a message, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. That is an extraordinary statement. When you think about how important family was in ancient Palestine, even today, in the Middle East, people typically consider family much, much more important than most people in our country. It was extremely important. And so for Jesus to be in this house, and he gets a message that his family's outside, and for him to say, well, my family's in here. My family are those who hear God's word and do it. That's a radical statement. He's saying God's word, it redefines our relationships. That's what he's saying. It redefines our family. Family was so important. And for him to say, no. My mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and do it. That's a radical statement. Now, I don't think he's disrespecting his mother or his brothers at all. There's many examples where he shows great respect for his natural mother, his biological mother, and his brothers. But he's saying God's word creates a new fellowship, a new family, a new interconnectedness, a new series of relationships, a whole new community that is as significant or even more significant than the family was to them. That's a radical statement. He said, these are my mothers and my brothers. You know, we sometimes use the word church family, but that's a really huge statement when we say, this is who we are now. This, the God's word and the way we respond to God's word has created in us a whole new system of relationships, a whole new connections. You could say God's word redefines our identity. Okay? Because that's what family was back then. I mean, it was your identity. Remember, very often in the Bible, when someone is introduced for the first time, we'll be told, Simon, son of Jonah, or Hezekiah, son of Zechariah. This person might be 40 or 50 or 60 years old, and yet when he's introduced, we're told who his father was. Because your family is your identity. That's who you are. And if God's word creates a new family, it creates a new identity for us. So that if you're someone who believes God's word, you're not just somebody's daughter or somebody's son or the kid who grew up on that side of the tracks. You know, you're not just that person with this background and these issues and these hang-ups. And, you know, yes, you're. That's part of who you are. Maybe you're athletic or you're good with your hands. But that doesn't define you anymore. What defines you is that you're now part of the family of God. That overrides everything else. That you may have come from a difficult background. You may have suffered all kinds of abuse when you were younger. Or maybe you came from a well-to-do family. Regardless, you respond to God's word in faith. That means your sin has been, it's been paid for. It's been atoned for. Your guilt has been taken away. You've been washed clean. You are a new person. You've been given the gift of faith. Paul says you're a new creature. You're a new creation. You have been adopted in the family of God. You are a child of God. That's who you are. That's what defines you. The past is past. God's word redefines your identity and says, this is who you are. You are now a child of God. You are in the family of God, and you've got to learn to think that way and act that way because you have a whole new identity now. Something like the last 40 to 50 years, our culture has been very absorbed in the whole issue of self-esteem, self-identity, self-identification. What race do I consider myself? What sexually, how do I identify myself sexually? All these things. God's word redefines your identity. You believe in the word of God. You are a child of God and a member of the family of God. But obedience to God's word is essential. Jesus says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. They were all kind of people in that house listening to Jesus. And he doesn't say that you're all my family just because you're here, just because you can hear my voice. I'm sure they were there for different reasons. Some of them were probably fawning over him, and some of them were trying to flatter him, and some were, here, can I bring you some tea? And others were probably just trying to sit close to him. I mean, you can imagine if this was happening today, someone would be there trying to get a selfie with Jesus. You know, I'm sure they're there for all kinds of different reasons. And Jesus doesn't say that just because you're here and you hear my voice, that means you're in. No, he says, my family, my mothers, my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. There are plenty of people who hear the word of God and it doesn't sink in or it doesn't give in much, or they hear it but they're distracted or they have other priorities. But it's those who take God's word to heart, who really believe it, and hold on to it and to put it into practice, those are the ones who are members of the family of God. The family of God consists of those who believe God's word and obey it, which means we need to come expecting to hear something practical, helpful. We need to listen attentively. I've talked about taking notes or going back and listening to it again sometimes, maybe on the internet, listening to the message, but doing so with the mindset of, how can I apply this? Am I believing this? There are things in the Bible we need to believe. We just need to believe it. There are things in the Bible we need to confess. We should confess them. There are things in the Bible we need to repent of. Forsake them. Give them up. We need to forsake them and give them up. There are things in the Bible we need to do. We need to be prepared to do it. We should come to God's word with that mindset of, all right, how am I going to put this into practice? How am I put feet on this? How do I share this with other people? How do I let this happen in my life? How do I let this light shine? That's how you should respond to God's word. We're coming into the light, expecting God's word to shine on us, but also thinking, now how am I going to let this light shine in my life? How are other people going to see this truth in my life? The family of God consists of those who believe God's word and obey it. And so Jesus says this morning, be very careful how you hear God's word. Take care how you hear the word of God and put it into practice. All right, let's pray together. Lord in heaven, your word is light. It brings understanding. It brings truth. We pray that it would shine in our hearts, in our lives today, and that it would shine through us, that others might hear and see the truth because of what you've done in us, because of the way you've been shining on us, that the reflection of your light from our faces, Lord, might be evident to others. We pray for that and pray, Lord, that you would meet with us this morning and fellowship with us as we prepare to come to the table together. Lord, we pray that we would take your word to heart. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.